This is a rather long chapter. I'm going to preach on the whole thing, verse by verse, word for word, here a little, there a little. She'll be coming around the mountain later, right? I'm kidding with you folks. Loosen up a little bit tonight, you know what I mean? Genesis chapter 31, verse number 1. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, this is talking about Jacob, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So in verse 1, Laban's sons are jealous of him. Verse number 2, Laban's countenance has changed toward him. And tonight I preach to you on this subject, in time of trouble. In time of trouble. Let's pray together. I share this thought. Father, we love you. Challenge us from your word, please. Forgive my sins, Lord. You know my heart. I want to be right with you. If there's anything in my heart, my mind that's displeasing, forgive me, remove it, get it out. May the will of God be done here. May you not be hindered in any way, shape, or form. Draw us to your word. And Lord, may you change us by your word, I pray. We love you this night. Bind Satan his evil spirits. And may you be pleased here in Jesus' name. Amen. Take a walk with me tonight through this chapter. Instead of me reading the whole chapter, I'm just going to summarize it. Take me about a page to do it. But stay with me here. I'm going to summarize what's going on in this chapter. As this chapter, chapter 31, opens, we see Laban's sons are jealous of Jacob's prosperity. They began to accuse him of getting all their father's glory. Jacob noticed Laban's countenance changing toward him, and Jacob called his wives, Rachel and Leah, to him out in the field so as not to be overheard from somebody else, so he could have a meeting with them. He told them in this meeting how their father's countenance had changed toward him. He proceeded to remind them of how hard he had served their daddy, and now their daddy had changed his wages over and over again. Jacob shared with his wives how the Lord took Laban's cattle and gave them to him. Jacob told his wives how God spoke to him in a dream and told him to leave this place called Haran and go back home. Rachel and Leah answered Jacob by saying that their father had also mistreated them, and for him to do whatever God had told him to do. Once Rachel and Leah submitted to Jacob, he set them and his sons on camels, and he headed back home without the knowledge of Laban. In other words, Laban was out, gone out in the fields, and Jacob got out of town while Jacob was gone without the knowledge of Laban. Rachel stole her father's images, her father's false gods, and they began their journey to Jacob's home. Now, John Butler put it this way. Is this on?
Did it just die? Okay. Let's turn on this number. What number is that? Number one of this. Okay. We're back in business. John Butler put it this way. How ridiculous it is to worship something that you can steal. Now think about that. I mean, he was worshiping something that somebody else could steal. I mean, it's ridiculous. When Laban realized that Jacob was gone, he took his brethren and he pursued after Jacob. Now the Lord warned Laban the night before Laban actually caught up with Jacob. He warned Laban not to mistreat Jacob. And Laban asked Jacob when they finally met what he was doing. And Laban acted like he would have sent him away in flying colors. And we all know that wasn't the truth. He then told Jacob it was in his power to hurt him, but that God warned him not to do that. Laban then brought up how Jacob had stolen his gods. To this, Jacob told him that whoever was found with the images would be put to death. He had no idea it was his own wife, Rachel. In other words, he didn't know that Rachel was the one that took it. Now, I'm going somewhere, folks. I realize it's taking me a while to get there, but I'm going somewhere here. Now, once the images were not found, Laban searched everywhere, and Rachel deceived her own daddy. And once the images were not found, Jacob got upset with Laban and chewed him out in this chapter.
Jacob then rehearsed to Laban how he had faithfully served him for 20 years. He then told him that he bore the loss of animals that were torn with the beast and how he bore the loss of animals stolen by day or stolen by night. He reminded Laban of how the drought consumed him by day and the frost by night, and he lost sheep while he's watching over the flocks every now and then. And along with that, he even said that his sleep departed from his eyes. He's rehearsing to Laban just how good he had been to him. Jacob went on to say how God had seen his affliction. He was watching over him during all this time, and it helped him through this time. Laban wanted to make a covenant with Jacob once he was put in his place. Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. The people gathered stones and made a heap. They ate a meal on that stone, on that group of stones. And Laban used the Chaldean language and called it by a certain name, while Jacob used the Hebrew language and called it by a Hebrew name. That heap of stones became a witness as a covenant between Jacob and Laban, that God is witness that if Jacob ever mistreated his wives, that God would step in, and that heap of stones was a witness that they were committing themselves in the sight of God, that neither one of them would pass those stones on the other one's side to give them any kind of harm. Now, that's a summary of what took place in this chapter. Now, it took me a little less time to do that than read the whole thing. But the main thought I get from this chapter is, when I was studying this chapter, we see that Jacob is in the middle of a time of trouble. In other words, life's not going well for him. Laban's sons are jealous of him. They don't like him. They're blaming him for basically stealing from their daddy, which he did not do. And because of all of this, Laban's countenance that was once very good towards him is now turning sour towards him. There's a time of trouble. And I want you to think about that thought in time of trouble. Some of you have come in here tonight and you're in a time of trouble. Now, I know this is not great news, but we all need to understand this. The longer we live, if God tarries His coming, every one of us will go through times of trouble. There are times of trouble that comes to everybody's life. Makes no difference what your name is. Makes no difference how healthy you are. Makes no difference how much money or how less money you have. What kind of car you drive. What kind of house you live in. Times of trouble are associated with this human nature and this human flesh. Jacob is going through this time of trouble. But as we see this time of trouble, there's a main thought I want you to see. And the main thought is God. As a matter of fact, we see God Himself is mentioned all throughout this chapter. If you're taking notes, He's mentioned in verse 3. He's mentioned in verse 5. He's mentioned in verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verse 13, verse 16, verse 24, verse 29, verse 42, verse 49, verse 50, verse 53, and that doesn't even include the verses that he's speaking. I'm just talking about where it mentions his name, the Lord or God or some form of his name. He's all over this chapter. You know what encourages me? That when I'm going through times of trouble, my God is in the middle of all of it. I'm glad no matter what I'm going through that God is all over my life. He is not going to let me go through something alone. He is there to help me and protect me and guide me and basically take care of me. In a time of trouble, God was all over this chapter. And I want to share with you four things that God did for Jacob in a time of trouble. All in this chapter. Four things God did in a time of trouble. And I'm going to tell you this, He does the same four things for you and I tonight. Number one, God instructed Jacob. In a time of trouble, I'm talking about in a time when life was not going well for him, in a time where he was in a trial of his life, at that time, the first thing God did is he came to him and he instructed him. He gave him some commands to keep. You see this in verse 3 and verse 13. Look at it. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Look at verse number 13. This is Jacob telling this story to his wives, and he's rehearsing, and he's saying that God said, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. The first thing that we see God did in Jacob's life during his time of current trouble is he came to Jacob and he commanded him to return to his homeland. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. In this command, we see the Lord telling him to get out of Haran and get back home. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this, is how even in times of trouble, God still has a will for his children. God has commands to be obeyed. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest things you can do in a time of trouble is find the commands of God and start doing them. One of the greatest things I can do when my heart is troubled, one of the greatest things I can do when my life is like this, or I find myself in a valley instead of a mountaintop, is I need to get alone with God and God come to me in the Word of God and share with me and instruct me and command me. And one of the greatest things I can do is live in obedience to the commands of God, even when life is not good. You know, it's easy to serve God when you're on the mountaintop. But when you're in the valley, it shows what kind of Christian you really are. May I say this? It shows what kind of Christian we really are. I don't want you to ever think I'm preaching to you. Like I've told you before, one reason I preach to hearts is because I'm preaching to the man in the mirror. It's easy to live for God up here. But Jacob is being told by God, hey, I know your life is not good right now, but I expect you to obey what I tell you. This is a great lesson for us to learn. Matter of fact, there are times when trouble hits all of God's people. Just because you're saved does not exempt you from trouble. God has not exempted us from trouble, friends. He hasn't. We're not promised that something bad's not going to happen to us. But we are promised that He'll go with us through it. And the fact of the matter is this. Many of God's children are tempted during times of trouble to turn their backs on God. They're tempted during times of trouble to turn their backs on the Word of God. But we must understand that it is never right to disobey God's commands, especially during a time of trouble. No matter what's going on in your life, good or bad, go to God's Word and obey whatever He tells you to do. Somebody put it this way, God's smiles are the best support under man's frowns. If we walk in the light of His countenance, we need not fear what man can do unto us. That's a great statement. God's smiles are the best support under man's frowns. That's a great thought. Hey, it's hard when the world's turning against you. Hey, it's hard when somebody stabs you in the back. Hey, it's hard when somebody gets jealous of you. Hey, it's hard when somebody's countenance changes towards you. But during that time, let us go to God and let us let Him instruct us like He instructed Jacob. Obey God's commands in trouble. Number two, He not only instructed Jacob. Number two, He inspired Jacob. We see this in verse number 3. Notice it. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return into the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. I will be with thee. See, the second thing we notice God did in Jacob's life during his time of current trouble is He inspired Jacob with a promise. Notice how the Lord told him, I will be with thee. This is a promise of God's presence. And this is a promise of God's protection in his life. See, we need to remember how Jacob left from Laban without Laban's knowledge of it. In this story, Jacob waited till Laban was out of the town. He wasn't there to see it. Then he snuck out of town. Once Laban caught up with Jacob, now get this, he told Laban the reason he left. Jacob told Laban the reason he left was because he was afraid. Look at verse number 31. Look at it. This is what, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. You know what the word afraid means? It means to be fearful. It means to be frightened. In other words, this time of trouble made Jacob frightened. This time of trouble made him fearful. This time of trouble made him afraid. All with what could happen. Not what did happen, but what could happen. I call it the what if syndrome. What if that happens? Oh no, what if that takes place? Oh, it hasn't happened, probably won't happen, but it's the what if syndrome, and it's with all of us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a time of trouble that made you scared? You ever been in a time of trouble that made you afraid? You ever been in a time of trouble where you were frightened? It's interesting. Maybe you're there now. See, it was at this moment. At this moment. I'm talking about the moment when Jacob is getting ready to make the decision. Jacob is afraid. He's afraid. And even after God spoke to him, he's still afraid because he's not left yet. And yet he told Laban in verse 31, the reason I left at that time is because I was afraid of you. I was afraid of you. All I'm saying is this. It was at that time, with Laban's sons jealous of Jacob breathing down his neck, it was at that time when Laban's countenance had changed toward him. It was at that time when his heart was fearful and afraid and scared. It was at that time God came to Jacob. Glory, I'm getting blessed right there. And encouraged his heart with a promise that he is not alone. And I'm going to tell you something. He was telling Jacob to get up and go back home, and he would be there with him all the way. The Lord had been with Jacob as he promised. Verse number 5, look at what Jacob said. And Jacob and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. Let me ask you a question. What did God tell him on his way? What did God tell him in his life? I will be with you, boy. And Jacob recognized it in verse number 5. He's getting ready to turn another chapter in his life. He spent 20 years in that land. Laban has mistreated him terribly. But he recognized in that land, verse number 5, that God was with him. He said, my God's been with me. Now he's getting ready to leave that land. And he's afraid. He's terrified. It's a new stage in his life. But yet God said, I want you to do this. And just as I've been with you here, I'll be with you there. Glory. I don't know if that's blessing you like it's blessed. That's blessed me, friends. And here's what I'm saying to you. He was telling Jacob, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. My friends, times of trouble can be times of fear. They really can be. They can be times when your heart is frightened and afraid of what might be. Where will this lead? Is this the end? There are times of trouble that the devil comes in and plays mind games on you. By the way, I think you know what I'm talking about when I say mind games. Amen or not, friends? He plays mind games with us. He tries to make you fear and afraid. We know better, but it's still there. We know God's with us, but our heart still gets a little nervous. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you're a better Christian than I am. I don't know. You ever been afraid of something that you know you shouldn't be afraid of? But I mean, it's there. It's flesh. It's there. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do with it? I'm so glad that for a child of God, the Lord is in the inspiring business. What I mean by that is I am so glad God did not reprimand Jacob here. What do you mean you're afraid, boy? You will not find that in that chapter. He did not speak to Jacob that way. He knew Jacob basically was doubting him. He knew that he was with Jacob, but he wanted to re-inform Jacob. He wanted to inspire Jacob. He wanted Jacob to know, yes, this is of me. Get up and get back. Go back home. Oh, and by the way, let me tell you something. Let me remind you something. I'll be with you. I'm there with you. I'm telling you, he wants all of his children to know, get this now. He wants all of his children to know that he does not send us through times of trouble. He goes with us through times of trouble. He doesn't send us through it. He goes with us through it. His promises and presence is really all we need. When push comes to shove, if you know God's there, and you know he's calling the shots, and you know that he's not going to let anything pass through his hands that is not going to help us in some way. Even if somebody come in and killed us. I think, was it John R. Rice, or one of those great men of God, who a man came and was going to shoot him and threaten him? He said, "Don't threaten me with heaven, sir." How can you threaten a child of God with heaven? I mean, worst case scenario. Now, am I looking forward to, hey, listen, I'm not ready to get on the next load out of here, friend. But can I say something to you? Ultimately, if the worst thing possible happens, we're going to be kicking up gold dust with the angels. Not too bad sounding to me, friends. All I'm saying to you is this. I'm saying that Jacob didn't know everything that was on that road back home, but he had God's promise that God was with him. That's all I need. That's all you need too. Let me give you something else here. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he, God, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Psalm 37:25, I've been old, and I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Number one, he instructed Jacob in this time of trouble. Yes, it was a time of trouble, but he still expected Jacob to obey his commands. Yes, it was a time of trouble, but he came and inspired him that he's not alone. He's going to be with him. He didn't stop there. Number three, he informed Jacob. He informed Jacob. We see this in verses 12 and 13. Notice the language. And he said, now, this is Jacob here speaking about this. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle. In other words, the angel of God is speaking to Jacob in a dream. And he says in verse 11, saying, Jacob, and he said, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle arranged straight, speckled and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. In other words, at the time when God needed him to show up, God showed up. And he informed Jacob of some things. In other words, the God of Jacob came to Jacob during this time to instruct him, give him commands to keep obeying, to inspire him that his presence is with him and he's going to take care of him, to inform him of some things that he wanted him to be aware of. See, in these verses here, we see the Lord, first of all, telling Jacob that see all those cattle that's ringed, straight, speckled, and gristled. By the way, in the previous chapter, what was Jacob trying, what did he lower himself to try to get the cattle to come out speckled and ringed straight and gristled? Remember, he peeled those rods and he put them in front of them and he was living by superstition? And can't you imagine, I've already preached on this, whenever Laban's cattle would give birth to a ringed straight or speckled or gristled, which is what Laban's cattle was going to be. Can't you just imagine him in that chapter saying, it's working! It's working! These peeled rods are really working! But yet God came to him here and said, those cattle that came out speckled and ring-straked and gristled. It wasn't the rods that did that, son. Jacob, I did that. I did that. He's reminding him. He's informing him of some things. He wanted Jacob to know it was him that was blessing him with the cattle. He informed him right here in verse number 12. He said, I have seen what Laban's done to you. God came to him and is informing him here that he's the one that blessed him with cattle, that he's the one that took knowledge of him. But along with this, here's the main thought that I'm trying to get across under this point of God informed Jacob. God said this, I am the God of Bethel. Where did Jacob stop on his way to Haran 20 years prior? Remember the place where Jacob fell asleep in chapter 28 of this glorious book? And Jacob dreamed a dream in chapter 28 about a ladder reaching from earth all the way to heaven. And at the top of it, there was the Lord standing at the top with the angels of God ascending and descending. During that particular dream in chapter 28, God promised him that he would be with him and keep him in all the places that he went and bring him again to that land. Read it again. It's in chapter 28. Jacob awoke and realized that the Lord had been in that place. He rose up early in the morning and set up a pillar and poured oil upon the top of that pillar. Does anybody remember what he called that place where he met God? Bethel. Bethel. There Jacob vowed a vow and told the Lord that if he would keep his promise, then the Lord would be his God. It's easy to see in chapter 28 that this meeting with the God of heaven had to make an impact on Jacob's life. Now get this. 20 years prior to this chapter, that's when Jacob had that dream about the ladder. That's when Jacob had a meeting with God. That's when God was speaking to him from the top of the ladder. That's when God said, I'll be with you, boy. And I'm going to bring you right back to this place again. 20 years goes by. And it's a time of trouble. God shows up to him and says, obey my command. Get out of here. Oh, I'll be with you. I'm the one who has blessed your cattle. I'm the one who has watched all the wickedness that's taken place in your life. Oh, and by the way, just in case you wonder who I am, I'm the God of the ladder. I'm the God of Bethel. All I'm saying to you here is he was informing Jacob again of who he is. He is the God that blesses. He is the God that sees. He is the God that keeps his word. This is precious. He was the one who blessed Jacob with cattle. He was the one who took notice of how Laban was treating Jacob. He was the one who Jacob met at Bethel. Oh, how this must have encouraged Jacob's heart during this time of trouble. You know what we need during times of trouble? We need to be reminded of who God is. He never changes. He is always there for us. He sees what we're going through, and he will not be deterred from keeping his promises. You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad of Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad for Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord. I change not. Glory. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Ye sons of who? Ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. In times of trouble, God instructed Jacob. He expected him to still obey. In a time of trouble, he inspired Jacob that his promise was still true and he was not going to forsake him. In time of trouble, he informed Jacob that he's the God who was blessing his cattle. He's the God who saw how Laban mistreated him. He's the God that he met 20 years ago in Bethel. At number four, and finally, we see that God intervened for Jacob's protection. He intervened for Jacob's protection. We see this in verse number 7. Then verse 24, 29, 42. Look at verse 7. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. Look at verse number 20, 24. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means in just a minute. God was threatening him. God was saying, watch your words. That's what he was doing here. Verse number 29, this is Laban saying, it's in the power of my hand to do you hurt, Jacob. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, night, saying, take thou heed, that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Look at verse number 42. This is Jacob speaking, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, had been with me. Surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God had seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. Now here's a thought. In these verses, there's a precious truth that comes out about Jacob's great God. And it's this. He intervened just at the right time. Notice how Jacob recognized this in verse 7 when he's talking about his years in Haran, how God did not allow him to hurt him. But the main thoughts I see here is that we see Jacob leaving Laban without Laban's knowledge. And when Laban finally found out that Jacob had left town, he gathers his brethren and he goes after them. It took Laban 7 days to overtake him. 7 days it took him to catch up with Jacob. And here's the thing. He could have spoken to Laban before he left home. Amen, friends? He could have spoke to him after the first day or the second day or the third day. But he didn't. God waited until the very night before he got to Jacob. The very night. And notice the very night that Laban was getting ready to approach Jacob the next day, God intervened. And God said, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Now, according to my study, there are two thoughts as to what the Lord could be saying here. One thought says that the Hebrew language means from good to bad. In other words, some people believe that what this phrase means, neither good or bad, is that God is saying to him, now don't you butter him up to take him down. Don't you go speak some precious things, and in your heart you're gonna drive a dagger in him. Don't you do that, Laban. Others seem to think that what he's saying with is this. He's warning Laban not to allure Jacob back with empty promises. And then don't try to frighten him by threats either. Now here's the point. I don't know exactly what that phrase means, but I know this. I know that Laban was going to hurt Jacob. He said so himself in verse number 20. He said, it's in the power of my hand to hurt you. So at least that at least was in his mind. So whatever that phrase literally means, we know this. We know that God intervened to take care of Jacob. And what I'm saying to you is Laban had apparent intentions to harm Jacob, but God stepped in just in the nick of time. Let me say this to you. One man put it this way. God let Laban get quite close to Jacob before he intervened. How often this happens. The enemy often seems to be about ready to come down upon us before God intervenes. When Paul was on his way to Damascus to cause havoc for Christians, God did not stop Paul until he was near Damascus, Acts chapter 9, verse 3 says. How nervous most of us would have been if we had been with the Christians in Damascus that day. You ever wondered why does God delay? Why does God sometimes allow close calls? Why does God sometimes wait to the last minute? One good reason is perhaps the chance to give the evildoers time to repent. But another good reason is to encourage our faith by showing us the great power of God, which is often much better seen in the last minute deliverance than in early deliverance. See, Jacob spoke concerning the Lord's intervention in verses 7 and 42. He knew it was the Lord's intervention that kept him safe in the times of trouble. John Butler puts it this way. I use him quite often. I'm telling you, his books are great. But he put this, and I quote, "How blessed it is to walk in the pathway where God is battling for you and not against you. The will of God is not the easiest path to tread, but it is the most blessed one, for God's wonderful promises accompany us on it." Let us rejoice in the fact that we serve the God who intervenes for His children anytime He wants to. I'm telling you, it's interesting. Now, I'm not trying to beat some dead drums here, but it's interesting with what took place here with this vandalism a week ago today, how close the Lord allowed that man to get to the building and had those construction workers over there to call 911, and nobody in the staff even knew they were outside. And I'm studying that passage 2 days later. 2 days later, I'm studying that passage. That was Wednesday. Friday, I'm studying this passage about how God intervenes just in the nick of time. You tell me God's not in that? What am I saying? I'm saying this. We're not in man's hands. We're in God's hands. And He's going to see us through, even in times of trouble. Isaiah 43, 1-3 says this, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." In this text, we see Jacob is going through a terrible time of trouble. Laban's sons are jealous of him. Laban's countenance has changed toward him. During this time of trouble, God came to him and commanded him to get out of that place and return home. He encouraged Jacob with His promise of His presence. He reminded Jacob of who he is. And He stepped in to protect Jacob just at the right time. Let us all take comfort in this passage of Scripture, because as I've said before, as time goes on, each one of us here, God giving us life and giving us breath, each one of us here will experience times of trouble. But when you do, remember how great your God is, and that He's on your side, and with God is the majority, and He'll carry you through somehow, some way. God will see you through. Even if He doesn't choose to correct the problem, even if He doesn't choose to heal your body, even if He doesn't choose to remove the problem, even if bad things happen, ultimately God is taking care of His children. Aren't you glad you're in the hands of God and not in the hands of some perchance that may happen tomorrow or any other day? Let's rejoice that we know God and that God knows us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and thank You for this time. Thank You that even during times of trouble that You're there. Even during times of trouble, you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're there to protect, guide, and help through. Help us to understand that, Lord, You never promised that there would never be trouble. You never promised that bad things would not happen. You never promised exemption from anything in this flesh. But what You have promised is that we can trust You no matter what, and that we're in Your hands, and we need not fear, for we're in the hands of Almighty God. Bless, I pray, please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. This God who is so good to all of us, He's good to you, He's good to me. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? I'm not asking, have you joined a church or been baptized or turned over a new leaf? None of that. I'm asking, has there been a time when you've trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? You trust in the shed blood of Christ on Calvary, His death, burial, His resurrection. There's never been a time in your life where you've done that. Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Secondly, I'd like to ask this. Have you right now are in a time of trouble? It may not be a big trouble. It may be a huge one. It may be a small one. But nevertheless, you are in a time of trouble tonight. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? You're in a time of trouble. There's a time of trouble. Yes, if you got your hand raised, I want you to listen to me. I want you to lower your hand. I want you to listen to me. At this, I hope you're getting the message tonight. During times of trouble, obey God. Obey His instructions. Meditate on His promises. Let Him encourage you. Be reminded of who He is. He's bigger than that, whatever it is. And He can help you. Rest in His intervention. That if He so chooses, He can intervene no matter how late in the game it may be. But even if He chooses not to intervene, He's still good. He knows what He's doing. And somehow He's trying to do what ultimately can be for our best. Do you understand that? I am not preaching that God will intervene for you and take it down. I'm not saying that. He did for Jacob here. But I'm not saying that that's a guaranteed fact. He's never promised exemption. He's only promised His presence through it. We can rest in that and trust Him in that. Come and ask God to help you to do what He wants you to do. Let's all stand together, shall we? Father, we love You. Bless this thought. In Jesus' precious name. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, you come. As he
just
sings.
Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him.
They're playing through softly. Folks have responded. We'll give them some time here. Still standing, I'd like you to look this way. We're giving folks some time to pray. I'm not trying to be a discouragement to you. I'm really not, but I am trying to be truthful. And those of you precious folks who are a little older and so on, you know I'm telling the truth. This life is not always going to be good, friends. There's trouble all the time. It's just the way it is. Makes heaven a little bit sweeter, doesn't it? But sometime every now and then, you're going to be in trouble. There's going to be a time in your life where something's going to hit your life and it's going to make you afraid. You're going to be fearful. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be frightened. It might be a sickness, whatever, a challenge at work. I don't know. Whatever. But at that time, keep this message in mind. God showed up in the very next verse. Trouble, verse 1. Trouble, verse 2. And the Lord came and said to him in verse 3. God works that way. Let's trust Him. Father, we love You. Bless this thought. Help us as we go our separate ways. Thank You for these precious people choosing to come to Your house. Help them to take this message home. But, Lord, I pray that they don't get away from it. Challenge all of us with it again, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Please be much in prayer for the service on Sunday morning, the banquet on Friday night, 6:30, and prayer breakfast at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday.